As Christians and as Methodists, we are called upon to pray. As we just heard from Katie, Paul told the Thessalonians to pray continually. Of course, that's not possible. Pesky little things like work, family responsibilities, Netflix, Hallmark movies, and the busyness of life get in our way. We all have good intentions, and fortunately, we have a forgiving God who understands. We will now hear from three members of our church family as they talk about prayer in their lives: Mark Evangelista, Agnes Fisher, and Jared Wolf. And I just heard them down in the gathering place, and you're in for a treat.
Hi, I'm Mark Evangelista. All right, so chapter one. No, just kidding. When Anne asked me to talk about prayer, the initial conversation was, "Hey, Mark, you were sick last year in the hospital for a few weeks, and you know, why don't you talk about, you know, your prayers and the effect of prayer upon you?" And I said, "Anne, it's going to be a really short conversation. I was unconscious for about a week and a half, so yeah, we're not going to have that have too long of a talk." But I will say that I know that there was support from my family and friends, from this church family. Tom and John were there for me on a regular basis. The prayers and support were tremendous, and I thank you. My family thanks you. And I'm confident that those prayers and support were a huge reason why I survived. One event that's related to prayer in my life recently has to do with my late father. Dad succumbed to brain cancer and some strokes resulting from surgery. And he died while I was unconscious in the hospital last year. This part about prayer really isn't about Dad or his fight with cancer or death itself. Instead, it's about the parallels between my relationship with Dad and my relationship with God and Christ. Dad and God are both my fathers. Like all relationships, my relationships with Dad and God are never stagnant. They have their ups and downs. They're always evolving. Sometimes I stray. Sometimes I struggle with demons. Sometimes I'm further from God than I want to be. Sometimes I had challenges with my relationship with my father, and I know for a fact that he had challenges with me. You know, this is one of my favorite Mark Twain quotes, and it's apropos for my relationship with my father and also with my relationship with God. And that was, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Now, I'm a far cry from being 21, but the relationships continued to evolve up until, you know, my dad's death, and my relationship with God continues to grow. I'm older and I hope wiser, which brings me to prayer. My prayers, and I'm going to assume that your prayers probably are of three types. One is acknowledging that God is in charge. "Hey, God, you're the creator. You know, you're in charge of everything." And that's the first part. The second kind of category, I'll call it, of prayer is giving thanks. "Hey, thanks so much for your blessings. Thanks so much for allowing me to survive. Thanks so much for this wonderful family that I have." So that's the second kind of category. The third category that I usually have is asking for something. "Hey, God, you know, I've got a difficult thing coming up. Can you help me out? You know, I'm dealing with something with my sons, especially Nicholas, who's here today. You know, can you help me out?" And so those are the three kind of main categories. And if you think about it, that's probably where your prayers are as well. But I think about it, and I go, when it put it in terms of relationships with Dad and with God. We're missing out on a lot if those are what our prayers are all about, right? Think about the conversations. I reflect on the conversations that I have had with my dad, and I miss them terribly. We would talk about anything from sports. He loved playing golf, travel, food. We talk about my mother a lot. We talk about my brother a lot, the grandkids and what have you. All the little things. Hey, you know, what did you have for dinner tonight? And I look at it and I go, that's what makes relationships so special. That's what brings us together, is those little things, the embarrassing things sometimes, just all the little details, the conversations that we have. And that's what prayer should be, more than just, hey, Dad, you know, you're the dad, you're a good guy, you were a good father. Thanks so much for everything you've done. You know, thanks for helping me out, and you continue to help me out. And by the way, you know, can I ask you for, you know, 20 bucks? Really, that's our conversation that we want to have with God or with our fathers? Not so much. We want to have some more. So really what I'm trying to say is, let's open up our prayers to more than just asking for things and giving thanks. Let's, as Denise was talking about earlier, let's talk to God throughout the course of our day about the little things. And the little things make, if we talk to God about the little things, it's going to make it a lot easier for us to talk to him about the big things and appreciate those big things, or the help that he gives when those big things come up. You know, my better half Sharon and I just took a trip to Iceland. And all the beautiful things that we saw, you know, every time was awe-inspiring. Hey, God, this is great. Thanks so much. Hey, God, really appreciate it. We appreciate what your universe, your world that you created. So it doesn't have to always be the big things. One thing I do also want to talk about with prayer, and this goes to the communication piece, is it's a two-way street. With prayer, look and listen for God's responses. The responses may not be immediate, they may not be direct, but they're there. And if we take the time to listen or look for the signs, you'll realize that God's answering your prayers. And sometimes the responses are non-responses, and that's okay too, because we can give thanks for some unanswered prayers if you think about it too. So my advice to you is pray every day. Pray a lot. Give thanks. Ask for things and have those conversations with God. I'm going to ask for you to pray with me real quickly. And that is, Lord, you're in charge. Thanks for everything. Let us love you and each other more every day. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So the next presenter will be Agnes. And earlier, when we were downstairs, I was teasing her. I said, hey, top that. Well, guess what? She will top that. Prepare to be awed and inspired. She is she's got a tremendous message. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay, good. There we go. All right. Well, I am thrilled. I was thrilled when Ann had asked me to share my experience with prayer. And here it goes. So I've been a Christian all my life. I was exposed to prayer, but not until recently, not until I joined Wayne Church with my family, did I realize the full potential of prayer and its astounding effects. And a lot of it was through my daughter, Brittany. her illness. We joined in 2003. Brittany was 10. Shortly thereafter, she was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And those of you who aren't familiar with Crohn's, it's an autoimmune disease of the digestive system. And in its flare-ups, there are blisters and ulcers all over your digestive tract. Unfortunately, Brittany had a really bad case of it. And she was often hospitalized for weeks at a time. She suffered greatly. She had a very low quality of life. She spent, and I'm not exaggerating, between 8 and 10 hours a day for days on end in the bathroom, okay? So, again, her quality of life was very low. I remember being introduced to the WOW prayer group at this time. I believe Cindy Bell had introduced me, and I got on the prayer list. And what it is, it's a prayer group that's mostly by email, and everybody submits their prayer requests, all kinds, big ones, small ones, through this email. So I got on the list, and I was like reading these prayers, and I was praying for people, but I, you know, kept on being on that. And then one time, this is, I think, the second time, Brittany was in the hospital, and it was a really bad case. And I was at the end of my rope. Now, seeing your child suffer is so hard, as unfortunately some of you may know. All I wanted was my daughter to heal. So I figured, well, you know, I'll try. But then I was thinking, is this going to make a difference? Shoot. There's over 7 billion people on this planet. What makes me think that God's going to listen to me and let alone answer my prayers? So I figured, I said to myself, okay, maybe this once. I'll try, see what happens. So I pressed reply all. And believe it or not, the very next day, Brittany had a medicine that was approved by our insurance group, and that helped her get better. And in addition to that, I heard from so many people from this church, how's Brittany doing? Hey, Brittany, you know, prayers are coming your Brittany's way. And that made me instantly comforted. This was God telling me, yes, people care and are listening. Keep going. So I did this for 16 years. There were many struggles and ups and downs along the way, many victories. For example, Brittany had missed over 70% of the school year many times. So much so that she had to repeat her senior year in high school. And if any of you have teenagers, for an 18-year-old to go to their second senior year for the first time, the first day of school, not knowing a whole lot of people, knowing that all your friends have already graduated and gone on, imagine how hard that is. I remember asking for prayers. And Brittany came home that afternoon saying, it was great. 3 people had asked me to sit with them at lunch in the cafeteria. And my teachers are great. It was fantastic. And by the way, 2 of the people who had asked her were from our church, Jen Fisher and Kristen Carboni. So God, again, was listening. So she ended up, now keep in mind, she graduated from Conestoga with honors. And keep in mind, just a very short time before this, we didn't even think that she was going to graduate from high school, let alone get accepted to college. So she got into the School of Engineering at Penn State University. She continued there. And again, there were struggles and there were prayers. She graduated with honors. She got a degree in biomedical engineering and went on to the University of Pittsburgh's master program for the School of Medicine for a degree in biomedicine science. So again, God was listening. But the topper of them all was in 2017. 2017, we experienced nothing short of a miracle. Brittany came to us. She had researched all types of clinical trials for her Crohn's disease because her last med had failed and it was not effective anymore, okay? So this course of treatment, it was very risky. It included a bone marrow transplant and chemotherapy to reboot her battled immune system. And I have to say, these 8 weeks were one of the most horrific times in our lives. My husband Bud and I would have to say, and also Britt. But through, and you know, I've never said this to a whole group of people, but something went wrong and she did almost die. But she didn't. And all through this, we had the comfort of all of you, our friends and our family, praying for us. And that power prayer was more than the idea that God would hear and act. It was just knowing that people were there. And on Christmas Day, this is Christmas Day, when you have a bone marrow transplant, it has to be accepted by your system. Christmas Day, her bone marrow was accepted by her system. So her stem cells were now able to get into her bone marrow and to replicate, to regrow her immune system. And if that isn't a sign that God listens and answers prayers, I don't know what is. So where's Brittany now? So she recovered from this, and a short time, not too long ago, she went through a whole month without pain. Now, my friends, this has not happened for 16 years. 16 years. She's now working for a company using machine learning and algorithms to find different treatments, partnered with pharmaceutical companies for several diseases. And just a few days ago, we learned that she got accepted into medical school. So my message is, prayers are unlimited. They are a gift from God. And, you know, there's a lot of gifts that you get that are finite, like chocolate, money, but not prayers. They are unlimited. It's like when you have more than one child, you have one child, you have another child, your love does not, it's not a fixed piece of pie. It's not a pie. There aren't, like, it's not finite. It's infinite. So when I was asking for prayers, I want to point out that I was very nervous. And one of the groups that really helped me was not only the WOW prayer chain, but the Wednesday night women's Bible studies. It's a small group of women, awesome group of women, led by Kim Ebersole. And we go through, and at the end we pray. And I learned not only how to pray, but pray for other people. And I also learned that no prayer is big or small for God. And because of that, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. So now Brittany is hopefully going to, I know she's going to be saving some lives, just like people have saved hers. And I want to thank each and every one of you. And I also want to thank the Women's Bible Study. So in closing, this is one of my favorite verses from the Bible and ties into this. It's from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Good morning. So I said to Anne, I was hoping I would be able to be up in the pulpit today, like those walking up those stairs over there seems pretty cool, but the lectern was my second choice. So, but I just, before we get started, I wanted to say thank you to Agnes and Mark for their stories, and Anne for getting everything together, so if we could give them a round of applause. Thank you. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jared Wolf. I am not a member with the Wayne Methodist Church, but my wife Ashley and I, we've been feeling very welcome here, and we feel like this is where we are called to be right now. So we thank you for this church. You also might know me as that tenor in the choir or the newly inducted ding-a-ling into the bell choir. And I say that with so much love, guys. And I'd like to start off by reading a quote given by the Methodist Church's founder, John Wesley. So prayer is where the action is. I feel that these six small words can carry so much weight because when we pray, we are helping to change lives. I have a friend who we'll just call him John Smith for confidentiality reasons. John and I have been friends since we came into college over 14 years ago. He is always the first person to lend a hand, volunteer at an event, would give you his shirt off his back, and just is an all-around good guy. We might know a John Smith who is driven by a moral compass that when he is able to do good, that he believes he should. But John, however, doesn't believe in God. We've had several discussions together on Christianity, and past Facebook post of his reads, "Anyone know the conversion ratio of thoughts and prayers to something that actually gets something done? Is it 1,000,000 to 1? Well, I believe this post was made around the time of the mass shootings in August, when our prayers went out to all the victims who were affected by these events. Maybe in John's eyes, because there was no immediate results of justice being served, there is no point to praying. As hard as it can be, Matthew 5:44 calls us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. This can be one of the hardest things to do. Why in the world would we want to pray for someone who has just wronged us in some way? But as Christians, we have a higher calling. Now, John and I are close friends, and I truly love and respect him. I don't know if he expects prayers to magically get something done, but what I know is that they can be so powerful. We just need to make sure we are praying in the right way. Here are two situations. And if you're school age, does this relate to you in any way? Father, I didn't study for this math test today, but if you could help me get a 100%, I would be really thankful, and I will go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. Now, unless they are a really good guesser and there are some other works at play, they most likely won't get that grade that they were hoping for. Also, we shouldn't have to make a bargain with God. Or, and this goes out to all our Eagles fans tonight, oh God, we are really praying for an Eagles win tonight against those darn Dallas Cowboys on NBC, kickoff being at 8:20, by the way. We really do want to be in first place this year and go to another Super Bowl, so please God. But if Dallas scores more points than they do, guess what? We're losing. But I hope that doesn't happen, because God doesn't play favorites. Looking at both of these examples in another light can tell a different story. Father, I know I didn't prepare as I should have for this test. Please help me to learn from this mistake and make better choices in the future. Or, God, even though we want our Eagles to win tonight, please be with us. Please be with all the players on the field and keep them safe from injury. Be with the refs, especially if they are scrutinized by fans when not agreeing with the penalties. Please help to give the coaches a clear mind when calling the best plays for their team. Both of these situations may sound just a bit more powerful. Keep in mind that God is not a genie, and we don't get three wishes. We want to make sure that what we are praying for can help us and those around us in a spiritual and emotional way. God won't always give us what we want, but I believe he will always give us what we need. One other example for what people pray for is for a loved one's health. When we know someone who is sick or in the hospital for whatever reason, we are always sending out our thoughts and prayers that God is with them in their recovery. In the end, we know that what physically helps them get better is the medicine provided by the doctors. But emotionally and spiritually, prayers help get us through. It helps us see that we are not going through this alone. Before an operation, saying a prayer that God is with the surgeon and the patient and that everything goes well can be impactful. I have seen this from my own personal experience. Back in June, as a lot of you here know, I donated a kidney to my older brother, Jeremy. I kept my emotions in check up until the morning I was driving to Philadelphia to University of Penn Hospital for the transplant. This was the first major surgery I had ever had in my life, and I was scared. I prayed that God would be with me and watch over my procedure. As if God knew I needed some reassurance, right when I had signed in, Pastor Tom walks in and sits and prays with me and my family. It was just what I needed. The surgery was a success, and my brother is doing well, but God didn't let me go through it alone. My wife, Ashley, wouldn't leave my side when I was in the hospital, and along with my immediate family and my church family, was there both physically and spiritually. When I was recovering, I had so many cards filled with thoughts and prayers, several from this congregation, as well as visitors to my hospital room. As many of you could agree who have been hospitalized, these are all just as important as the medicine itself. And for the younger generation, maybe you have broken an arm and you're wearing a cast, and you get your friends to sign your cast. That's pretty much the same thing, that others are thinking about you and in your time of recovery. I also pray that God, can you use me as an example to help others who are considering going through the kidney donation process? When we see a cancer patient outlive their life expectancy given by a medical professional, when we welcome a new member into the Lord's family, or even when children in Liberia can have their tuition paid for so that they can receive an education, we know that prayers are being answered. Some might call that coincidence, but we like to call that faith. I don't know if prayers have any magical properties, but I know one thing, they sure are powerful. Thank you, and God bless.